Please turn in your Bibles to the general epistle of Jude. This evening I want to draw your attention to the last two verses in this epistle. For the benefit of those who are visiting with us over these past number of weeks and months now, we have been studying this general epistle of Jude. And we have come to the last two verses. Look what it says in Jude, verses 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. In our last two studies, we have been considering two aspects concerning the Christian's duty in days of apostasy. First of all, we notice the Christian's duty in regards to themselves. In other words, how we as God's people are to live for God in days of spiritual darkness. Then this morning we considered the Christian's duty in regards to others. And of course, under this point, we considered the importance of seeking to win the lost for Christ in days of apostasy. And we emphasized that phrase in verse 23, pulling them out of the fire. Tonight, as we take up our studies again, and as we bring our series of messages on the general epistle of Jude to a conclusion, I want to draw your attention, thirdly, to the Christian's duty in relation to God in days of apostasy. And I want to base my remarks on these verses that I have read, the last two verses of this general epistle of Jude. What is the believer's duty towards their God in days of spiritual decline? Well, I believe it's simply this, that we as God's people always remember and never forget the greatness and mercy of God in Christ towards his redeemed people. In dark days, in days of spiritual decline, it is so easy to get our eyes off the Lord and to forget how great and how merciful the Son of God has been towards his redeemed people. But we must never forget, we must never fail to remember what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will continue to do for his redeemed people. Now it's important that we remember the context of these last two verses. Jude here, as we have been noticing and considering, is pointing out the false teachers who have crept into the church to spread their false doctrine. And of course, he has exhorted God's people to earnestly contend for the faith. But as he draws near to the end of his epistle, he draws God's people attention to their duty in days of apostasy. Not only must we preach against false religion, not only must we seek to defend the truth, but we must at all costs remember to walk with God ourselves in holy lives. And we must, of course, also, in days of apostasy, seek to win the lost for Christ, as we found out this morning. And we must not forget the God of heaven. We must not forget the greatness of God. And we must not forget the mercy of God that he has shown towards us in the gospel. As we come to consider these verses and this subject this evening, I want you very simply to notice a number of things here. First of all, let us never forget about God's saving power in our lives, child of God. The message in the main is for God's people. But I pray that even those who are unsaved tonight, that the Lord will speak to your heart. But child of God, take a look at verse 25 and underline these words. It says, to the only wise God, our Saviour, the God of heaven, the God of the Bible, the God of the Christian faith, is the only wise God, and he is the only Saviour. And thank God, he is our Saviour. Did you notice how Jude describes this Saviour? As he speaks to the saints of God He describes the Savior as our Savior. You see, there was a day in Jude's life when he became a Christian, when he trusted the Lord Jesus as his own and personal Redeemer. And of course, the people that he was writing to, the saints of God, there was a day also in their lives when they met the Lord and when the Lord saved them by his grace. Therefore, Jude here is coming to remind God's people about God, their Savior, and God's power in salvation that he had wrought in their heart and in their life. You see, there's only one Savior. In Isaiah 43 verse 11, we read these tremendous words where God says, I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. There's no salvation, of course, outside of Jesus Christ. There's no salvation outside of the God of heaven. That is what the Bible teaches. God's salvation is found only in the person and work of the Lord Jesus. And we have verses, many of them in the Bible, that emphasize that truth. Paul said in Acts 4 verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It was Paul who said in 1 Corinthians 3, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is the only wise God, our Savior. O child of God, in these days of apostasy and spiritual darkness, let us never forget God's saving power in our lives. He has saved us by his grace and mercy. He has saved us through his precious blood. He has saved us from hell and judgment to come. He has delivered us from the penalty and the punishment of sin. And even in days of spiritual decline, we need to remember that. Indeed, especially in days of spiritual decline. It's so easy when things are hard to forget how great God is. But let us never forget how great our God is and how powerful he is when it comes to the saving of our souls. Thank God he has redeemed us not only for time, but for all of God's eternity. Our text brings out again the great truth that God's salvation is a very personal thing. And of course, I have emphasized that already when Jude says here, our Savior. This great wise God is my Savior tonight. And I know that there are many others here this evening, and you can testify to that great truth as well. But maybe there's someone here tonight, and the Lord Jesus Christ is not your Savior. Not your Savior. My friend, can you say, like the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd? Can you say, like Job, the Lord is my Redeemer? I know that my Redeemer liveth. Can you say, like the Apostle Paul, my God? Can you say, like Thomas of old, my God and my Savior? My friend, it's so important that you know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way. You need, if you're not saved tonight, to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because thank God, the one who has saved so many is able to save you this evening, because his power has not changed as far as his power in salvation is concerned. Thank God tonight, as we reminded you there a few moments ago, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment to Jesus, a cleansing receives. And coming to church is not enough. And how often we have preached that from this pulpit, and that is the truth. You could go to church all your life and yet die and be lost in hell forever. You see, the Bible speaks about a personal faith, a saving faith in Christ. I wonder, can you look back to a day in your life like Jude could, like those that Jude was writing to, they could as well, like so many here in this meeting this evening can, when you were saved, when you repented of your sin and by faith trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer. Well, let us never forget that, child of God, what the Lord has done for us He has redeemed us. We're on our way to heaven. We'll never be in hell. Our sins, which are many, are forgiven. And let us remember that the Lord is the only wise God. And this only wise God is our Savior. He's our Redeemer. And thank God someday when we leave this scene of time, we're going home and we're going to see Him face to face. And what a day, what a glorious day that will be. I wonder, as we come to the close of this meeting tonight, my friend, can you read your title clear to mansions in the sky? I pray if you can't, that you'll come tonight and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. I look at something else here in this text of Scripture. Notice, secondly, let us never forget about God's keeping power. Not only God's saving power, God's redeeming power, but what about His keeping power? Look what it says there in verse 24. Underline these words. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. Another tremendous text of Scripture. The God who saves by His power is the God who keeps by His power. Child of God, let us never forget in these days of darkness, spiritual decline, apostasy, that God will keep His church from falling. Christ will preserve His people and uphold His saints in days of spiritual darkness. The word keep in verse 24 means to keep guard or to keep watch over. That's what the word literally means. Therefore, God's power is keeping guard and watching over His saints, and He's keeping them from falling. Isn't that a wonderful truth? That the One who has saved us will keep us. Just keep your hand in Jude and turn over for a moment to 1 Peter chapter 1. Because Peter brings out this truth also in his epistle. And of course, if you know anything about the epistles of Peter, you will know that Peter also warned about false teachers coming into the church. But he also spoke about the mighty God of heaven, able to keep His saints in the midst of spiritual darkness and in the midst of apostasy. Look with me at 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now look at verse 5. Underline the first part of verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What mercy, what power there is in Christ. My friend, maybe there's someone here tonight and you're not saved. Maybe the reason why you're not saved is because you're thinking to yourself, well, I would love to get saved, but I couldn't keep it. I couldn't keep it. Well, you haven't spoken a truer word, because you couldn't keep it and I can't keep it. But God keeps us. And that's what Jude here is emphasizing. And that's what Peter here is emphasizing to us. That the One who saves is the One who keeps. Not only has He the power to redeem the soul from hell, not only has He the power to save the soul, but He has power to keep the soul. Not only for time, but for all eternity, as we're going to find out just in a moment. So if the devil is whispering in your ear tonight, well, don't get saved because you couldn't keep it. Don't listen to the lie of the devil this evening. Thank God, the One who saves is the One who keeps His people from falling. Notice exactly what Jude 24 says. Underline it. Now unto Him that is able. Underline the little word is. Present power that is speaking about. Present help. It does not say, now unto Him that was able. But He is able. In other words, God's power is ever present with His people. Isn't that wonderful? And thank God, child of God, as you and I face the battles of life, as we face the trials of life and the difficulties of life, There is one with us, and he has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And this one is the only wise God. And he's our Savior. He's our Savior. And the Lord in these days wants us to remember that. He wants us to remember that. And that's our duty, to remember his greatness and to remember his mercy towards us. Tell me, child of God, when you get up in the morning, do you remember the greatness and the mercy of God? Before you go to bed at night, do you dwell upon the greatness and the mercy of God and Christ to you? Because the wonderful redemption he has imparted to us, no one can take it from us. Jesus saith himself, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of mine hands. There's a wonderful portion of scripture. It's found in Ephesians chapter 3. And it's worth underlining in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 3 and the verse 20. We read these tremendous words. Now unto him that is able, speaking of the God of glory, speaking of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. World without end. Amen. Isn't it tremendous to know that in the midst of dark days, in the midst of troubled times, in the midst of spiritual decline, that the God who has saved us is the one who is and will continue to keep us in the hollow of his hand. But notice something else here. Turn back again to Jude. And I want you to notice, thirdly, that we're never to forget about God's eternal power. Not only his saving power, and not only his keeping power, but his eternal power. Look what it says at the second part of verse 24. We read these words, and to present you, let's read all the verse. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And read verse 24 or verse 25 also, especially the latter part of it. To the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. What tremendous words we have here. God's mercy and power in the life of his people is not only for this world, but it's for the world to come. God's kingdom is eternal. God's power is eternal. God's glory is eternal. God's majesty is eternal. God's dominion is everlasting. That means that we who are in Christ, saved by his grace, are eternal. And someday our great and merciful Savior will present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Are those tremendous words? Oh, child of God, we're going to make it to heaven. And don't let anyone tell you any different. Don't let the devil tell you any different. And don't let the false teacher tell you any different. Because the one who saves us will not only keep us, but he will present us spotless before the throne in glory. I'm sure you're all familiar with the great intercessory prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ offered when he was upon this earth in John chapter 17. We haven't got the time tonight. Just turn over to it for a moment. We haven't got the time tonight, of course, to read this prayer, but you should read it when you go home. But take a look what is said in verse 24. Here's the Lord Jesus in the midst of this prayer, and he says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. What a prayer that is. And of course, when the Lord Jesus Christ offered that prayer, he was praying concerning his saints. Well, child of God, there will be no empty seats in heaven. Those that Christ died for, he will save. And those that he saves will be glorified. And that's what Jude here is seeking to teach in his epistle. And what a wonderful truth we have here set before us in this portion of God's precious word. Child of God, here is our duty towards our God in days of apostasy. We are to remember and never forget the greatness and mercy of God which he has given us in Christ. We are never to forget his saving power. We are never to forget his keeping power. We are never to forget his eternal power. Because he has redeemed us not only for the years of time, but for all eternity. We can trust the Lord tonight. Would you want to trust anyone else? Of course you wouldn't. We can't trust in horses or in chariots, but the Bible exhorts us that we are to trust in the Lord our God. And no matter what's going on all around us, no matter what's happening in this world that we are in, no matter what is even happening within the church today, let us remember what Jude says at the end of this epistle. Because let me remind you again of the context. Because it's very important. He was writing at a time when wicked men had crept into the church to spread their false doctrine. There was much confusion. And yet, as far as Jude was concerned, there was no confusion in his mind concerning the doctrine of God and the truth of God and the wonderful salvation that he had received from the Lord. Child of God, my advice to you in these days, in this 21st century, because I believe we're living in the last of the last days, days prior to the second coming of Christ, keep your eye upon the Lord. Keep your eye fixed upon him. It's not what the Bible exhorts us to do, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And indeed, that's how we could sum up what Jude is seeking to say here as he comes to the end of this epistle. Keep looking to the Lord and keep trusting in him and keep remembering what he has done and what he is doing and what he has promised to do in the days that lie ahead. Thank God. What a wonderful Savior and what a wonderful Redeemer we have. My friend, do you know anything about this wonderful Savior? Is he your Savior? Let me ask you that question again. As we bring this meeting to a conclusion tonight, is he your Savior? Is he your Redeemer? If he was to come right now, and the Bible tells us that he's coming again, are you ready for his coming? Are you prepared for death and for eternity? How will it be with your soul when you leave this scene of time? Because the truth of the matter is this, that if he comes and you're not prepared, or if you die and you're not prepared, then where Jesus is, you will never be. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. And in heaven, he's preparing a mansion for his saints. I go to prepare a place for you, he said to his disciples. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also where I am. That's where Jesus is. But the only ones that will be with Christ in heaven are his redeemed. Are his redeemed? Are you one of the redeemed? Can you say like the hymn writer, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. Oh, if you can't say that or sing that tonight, then come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer. Perilous times will come. I believe we're even living in them. Prophecies are being fulfilled. as we live upon this scene of time. And very soon, Jesus Christ will come again. My friend, you need to be ready for his coming. You need to be ready. Would you make that preparation tonight and come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Redeemer? Would you turn from your sin and seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near? I exhort you to flee from the wrath which is to come. And of course, that message was preached by many of the prophets and apostles, but especially John the Baptist. And he preached that message so clearly. Flee from the wrath which is to come. My friend, that day of wrath is still coming. And it will come. Because the Bible declares that it will come. And that's why it is so important for you and I to be in Christ and to be prepared for the Lord's coming. The coming of the Lord, the Bible tells us, draweth nigh. It draweth nigh. I pray tonight that you will strive to enter in at the straight gate. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Turn unto him and trust him alone as your own and personal Redeemer. And then when he comes again, you'll hear those words, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for thee before the foundation of the world."